If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Psalm 113. Psalm 113. Hear now the word of our God. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that He may set him with princes, even with the princes of His people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. In the New Testament, turning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. We'll begin our reading in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The grass withers, the flower falls, but God's word abides forever. Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we open now this psalm, and a psalm of praise, and the beginning of a series of psalms of praise, we do pray that you would so work in our hearts that this would not just be an intellectual exercise, but more importantly, to our spiritual nourishment and to the work in our spirit, in our hearts, in our minds, that this psalm would be on our minds and in our lips and flow from a heart of thankfulness to you. We do thank you, Lord, that you have shown your mercy and grace to us through Christ, and do pray that you would enable us through this portion of your word, this tool, to render thanksgiving and praise unto you. We ask this now in Christ's name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we enter into a series of Psalms 113 through 118, which has been termed the Hallel Psalms, or the Egyptian Hallel Psalms, Psalms of Praise. In particular, these psalms were read by the people of God in the Old Testament when they celebrated the Passover. And so the connection of these psalms to the Passover event is pretty clear in Psalm 114. Maybe not so clear in our psalm this morning, but the point is in the midst of the remembrance of redemption, these hymns, these songs were sung. And as this morning in particular, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, is the time when what? We remember and celebrate redemption through Christ. And so I think it's appropriate that we begin focusing on Psalm 113 this morning. And so the question that I want to lay before you this morning, and hopefully Psalm 113 will help us to answer it, is why is praise important? Why praise the Lord? The beginning and the ending of this psalm states not a suggestion, but a command. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay? So you could say, well, right there's your answer, Pastor. Why do we do it? Because God says you got to do it. Okay. Why is it important? Because God commands it. Is that the only reason why we praise the Lord? Is because that's our duty, sir? If it is, then we have a serious problem. Now, it is the duty of all creation to praise the Lord. All creation, not just the redeemed, but all of creation. Those who were created by God. It is part of the purpose of creation, to glorify the Creator. And so all creation glorifies God. In one way or other, God's glory is revealed. But why is it important that we praise the Lord? Well, according to this psalm, to summarize a few of the reasons, number one, not only because He commands it, but because of who He is. Because He's the Lord. Because of who He is and because of what He has done, creation, providence, redemption, because of what He is doing, applying the redemption of Christ through the Holy Spirit, the work of sanctification, and because of what He will do, glorification, judgment, eternal life. Because of who He is, and because of what He has done, is doing, will do. If we understand that, praise is normal. If we truly understand who He is, if we truly have grasp on who He is, praise is natural. Praise comes from a heart of faith that sees God and who He is and what He has done. Especially in what He's done for you. You exist because of Him. If nothing else, praise God that He has given you existence. You did not make yourself exist. God created you. God sustains you. God sent His only begotten Son to save you. God sent the Holy Spirit to apply that. God sent the Holy Spirit to continue to work with you. God has a purpose for your life. Because of who He is and what He's done is sufficient reason to praise Him. But what are some other benefits? Why is praise important? Did you ever think that praise is good for you? You ever thought of it that way? Besides it being commanded, did you ever think that praise is something that is of benefit? We're going to get practical here. Is there a practical benefit of praising the Lord? Well, here's a couple. Three thoughts. Number one, praise refocuses our attention. Praise refocuses our attention from what? From me. We are overly concerned and focused on ourselves. And when we praise the Lord, what does it do? It forces us to get our eyes off of our navel and look upward. Praise enables us to refocus, to overcome our overly occupied focus on ourselves. In a sense, it's healing. Praise can heal you of self-centeredness. What else? Praise helps us to mature spiritually. Someone mentioned this the other day. Praise is like a spark plug of faith. I thought that was an interesting thought. Praise is a spark plug of faith. Have you ever thought of it like that? Well, try it. Start praising the Lord whether you feel like it or not. Especially when you don't feel like it. And one of the things that I think you will find is there will be a change that starts to occur in yourself. Your attitude starts to change. Your focus begins a little bit different. Your faith is strengthened. Praise is a spark plug. It helps us to mature. Thirdly, Praise helps us to develop godly character traits. How so? Well, a godly character trait, the fruit of the Spirit, is the fruit of the Spirit. And as we praise the Lord, as our orientation, our focus is God-centered rather than self-centered, who gets the glory for the changes that occur? God does. As we're self-oriented, we have a tendency to love self. As we're God-oriented, there is a tendency to love God and to love others. And so praise enables us, helps in that godly character development. There are other things we can consider. Why is praise important? Many, many reasons. Proposition is there in the outline. The whole universe exists for the glory of God. And praise is a primary means through which this purpose is accomplished. Because of God's wonderful works of creation, providence, redemption, and sanctification, those who have experienced His saving grace desire to lift their voices and lives and declare, "Let God be magnified." We are in Psalm 113 as a means and also a teaching to this end. We are in the fifth book of the Psalter. We're in this series of praises. According to Kinder, in his statement concerning these set of Psalms 113 to 118, he says the following. The theme of raising the downtrodden is found here in Psalm 113, and the note of corporate praise in 115, personal thanksgiving in 116, world vision in 117, and festal procession in 118 make it an appropriate series to mark the salvation which began in Egypt and will spread to the nations. By custom, these first two psalms were sung before the Passover meal, the remaining four after it. There is more relevance in these psalms to the Exodus, the greater Exodus, than could be guessed in Old Testament times. What is he saying? Psalm 113 through Psalm 118 has more relevance to us today than to when they were written and sung. So we'll think about that as we consider our text. First point, praise His name, for through it we know Him. Notice as our psalm begins, Psalm 113, the focus of praise in verse 1, in verse 2, in verse 3, well, actually in the whole psalm, is the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Now, who are called to praise the name of the Lord, according to the psalm? Verse 1. Praise ye servants of the Lord. How, ye servants of the Lord, are you to do that? To praise His name. To praise His person. To praise His activity, His works. To praise that Him that you are a servant in the first place. A servant of the Lord is a great honor, a great privilege. Praise Him and what He has done to enable you to be called the servant of the Lord. And how has He done that? Through His name. Let all the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who are we to praise? Jehovah or Yahweh. His name includes His identity and the revelation of Himself. If it is true that this psalm is set in the midst of the Passover celebration, then the book of Exodus fits very clearly into this whole schema of psalms. And in both the beginning of Exodus and near the end, we see the declaration, the revelation of God through the name. Moses asked God in his calling, "Who shall I say has sent me? What is your name?" What is His name? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And when Moses later asked to see the glory of God revealed, the Lord proclaimed his name, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers to the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. In the Exodus event, we find again and again the name of God revealed, both by word and by action. He is Jehovah. He is the Lord, our Savior. When are we to praise the Lord? Do we praise the Lord only on Sunday morning in the church service? Well, we should do it at least then, right? What is Psalm 113 verse 2 say? When should we praise the Lord? From now until eternity. Forever. Is there ever a time when we should not praise the Lord? No. What will we be doing in heaven? Well, part of what we will be doing is worshiping and praising our Lord. Where are we to praise the Lord? Again, we hear in the psalm, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. So where are we supposed to praise the Lord? Everywhere. Everywhere. Is there a place on this planet or even in the universe where God's praise is not to be rendered? Well, that's off limits there. No. Everywhere. From east to west. Why do we praise the Lord? Because of His name. His name is Jesus. Because He will save His people from their sins. Why do we praise Him? Because in His name is salvation. For Peter says, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, but by the name and in the name of Jesus. Why do we praise His name? Because His name is upon you. You have been identified with it. You are called by His name. You are a Christian. If you have been baptized into His name, you have His name upon you. He has your His mark upon you. You are His. And He calls you to praise His name by word and by deed. Praise His name. For His glory transcends everything. Verses 4 through 6 in the psalm focus our attention and the praise unto the heavens and the heavens of heavens and above the heavens of heavens. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord, our God who dwells on high, who humbles Himself to behold the things in heaven and in earth? Isn't that an amazing statement? God is so high and exalted that He has to humble Himself to look down and see what's going on in heaven and then on earth. Well, our perspective is we look up to see what's going on in heaven. He has to humble Himself to see what's going on in heaven. To hear what the psalmist is trying to communicate. He is transcendent above all things, creation. He is high. He is lifted up. He transcends everything. And His transcendence includes His reign over everything. Because He is transcendent, because He is high over all nations and even above the heavens, He is worthy to be praised. Why do we praise Him? Because He is transcendent. There is none like Him. Verse 5, who is like the Lord our God? What's the answer? No one. He is worthy to be praised. He is to be praised. He is the only one that is worthy. Here we find in that statement both a polemic against other gods, no other gods are to be praised, only Jehovah, and also a confession of faith. Who is likened to the Lord? This particular statement, this particular understanding is expounded greatly by the prophet Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, Isaiah goes on to describe this glory of God, this aspect of who is like unto the Lord. Verse 12 of Isaiah 40. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? Or whom took he counsel, or who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? What's the answer? No one. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? A workman meeteth a graven image, and a goldsmith spreadeth out over it with gold, and casts the silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. What is he saying? He's mocking. People create gods after their own imagination. Who are they? What are these creations of man in relations to God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by numbers? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, no one, not one, faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my ways is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? There is no searching his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no strength. And I could go on and on. Do you hear the description of the transcendence of God over men, over nations, over rulers, over powers? The psalmist declares in a summary statement, who is like unto the Lord our God who dwells on high? No one, nothing. Why do we praise him? Because of who he is. Because of what he does. Yet, even though he is so transcendent that we can't even comprehend how high he is, yet he stoops to behold the highest heaven. He humbles himself in order to look at what we would consider the highest things. Take heed, you who exalt yourself, who think of yourself as great, powerful, able, remember this. Humble yourself before His transcendent glory, and He will lift you up. And so it is in the rest of the psalm. Praise His name, for His mercy lifts up or exalts the poor and needy. Notice in verses 7 through 9 the movement. It focuses on God, and the praise is that God is transcendent above all things. And then it says that He humbles Himself and He looks upon the things of heaven and earth, and then He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the dunghill. Do you see the movement of the psalmist in praising his Lord? He acknowledges that God is so much beyond my comprehension, so much above everything. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need to look upon me, but He chooses to do so. That in His mercy, He looks not only down through heaven, but even to the earth and into the dust, and He takes me by the hand, and He raises me up out of the dust. He takes me out of the toilet, the dunghill, and takes me up. He dirties Himself, as I and my righteousness, are, which is as filthy rags, He reaches down, and He picks me up. And He cleanses me, He washes me, and He clothes me, and He calls me son. In His mercy, He raises the poor out of the dust, lifts the needy out of the dunghill, that He may set him with princes, even with the princes of His people. Do you hear that? What God does to the poor and needy? Not to the self-righteous. Not to the one who has it all together. But to the one who has no righteousness in themselves. To the one who has no power. To the poor. To the needy. What does He do? He lifts them up. He raises them up. And He makes them to sit with princes. He takes the poor and makes them honored. But notice, not just with any old prince, with any old ruler, not just any old honor, but with whom? With the princes of His people. Again, we have here a picture of God reaching down and taking someone out of the toilet, cleansing them, and sitting them not just on thrones on earth, but into heaven itself, seated in heavenly places in Christ. Is that where you are, positionally, right now? That's what Paul says to those who are trusting in Christ. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ. What is Christ? Ruling, seated. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Kings. We are seated in Him. And so though we are found in the dust, yet we are exalted to heaven itself. We are seated with the princes of His people. So great is His mercy toward us. The psalmist goes on to describe not only the state of the poor and needy, and I would almost want to say the poor and needy man, but also the poor and needy woman. What about the barren woman? Verse 9. He makes the barren woman to keep house and be the joyful and to be a joyful mother of children. He provides a house, provision, and a purpose for this barren woman, who in the Old Testament, that was the curse. The worst thing that could happen to a woman would be if she was barren. He causes her to have a house, a household. He provides provision and a purpose for living. Furthermore, He provides children that bring joy and hope to her. two different pictures of the mercy of God. As I said in the title of this sermon, when mercy descends, joy ascends. God reaches down to that poor bloke, that poor man in the dust. He reaches down to that poor woman in her grief and raises them both up and causes them to rejoice. As I considered these two pictures, these two focuses of these two different people, what came to mind was Adam and Eve. When God cursed Adam, what did He curse? He cursed the ground, did He not? He cursed Adam's ability to work. That work would be hard, work would be frustrating, there would be thorns and thistles. Do you ever wonder why work is such a pain? Even the best job turns into be a real difficult job. There's always something comes up to make the job hard in this life. It's because God established that back in the garden. Adam was poor, and God enabled him, yes, to work, but what does He say that Adam will return to? The dust. For dust thou art, and to dust you shall return. What does the psalmist say here? Out of the dust, God raises the poor. Is there a connection? I think so. How about Eve? What was the promise to Eve? And curse. The promise is she would have children, and she would ultimately bear the Messiah. But she would do so in sorrow and pain, that she may trust in the Lord. And so we hear in this psalm the mercy of God raising up poor Adam from the dust and setting him in glory amongst the princes of God's people, salvation and glory. And we see the woman being raised out of barrenness into purpose and joy. So it is that we are those poor and barren. It is because of His mercy that we are not consumed. And so why do we praise the Lord? Because He showed His mercy. He reached down and saved us. In conclusion, Psalm 113 is a psalm, a call to praise, to give glory to God. His glory is revealed in the highest heavens and in the lowest need. And we are called to render praise for His mercy. Amen? Let us respond to God's word by giving of His tithes and our offering after we pray. Father in heaven, we do come before You and we do pray that You would do that work in our lives, that You would take this psalm, that it would not be just left here on Sunday morning, but You would work it in our hearts, that we would sing this song and meditate on it to be that spark plug of our faith. We do pray, O Lord, that You would enable us to behold and to appreciate what You have done for us through Jesus Christ. And as we now prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper as a remembrance of what You have done, may truly our praises come from thankful hearts. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.